Hello from Ellensburg, Washington, USA. This is the Nick Zentner Geology Podcast, episode 124, The New Idaho Batholith. Crack myself up there. Thank you for listening. Yeah, I just came up with that title 3 seconds ago, and I don't know, I need to explain, don't I? Idaho. Yeah, it's a state within the lower 48. Batholith. Yep, it's a large volume of plutonic igneous rock, magma chamber rock that cooled in the dark with big, beautiful crystals. Oftentimes granite, but sometimes diorite and gabbro and other things, but mostly granitic material. Fine. Tonalites. Yeah, we got it. Well, this is a follow-up to the last episode, the most recent audio episode. The radio episode entitled Idaho Volcanic Arc was done earlier this month, where I was reporting on a few live streams that I was doing, just starting to think about the Idaho batholith and ask a simple question. Was there a time when the Idaho batholith was formed by a very simple volcanic arc with a trench, an oceanic trench to the west, a subducting ocean plate, and then many magmas, many volumes of magmas, many generations of magmas being created from a simple volcanic arc, from a convergent oceanic versus continental plate boundary? The answer is no. And so this is called the New Idaho Batholith simply because I have a new level of appreciation, and I just simply have new answers that I did not have a couple of weeks ago. So I'm reporting today, dear listener, on what I have been learning in the last, I don't know, 2 weeks? How long has it been since the last one? I don't know. But I have been busy on YouTube. Maybe too busy. I'm feeling a little bit burnt out. And it's summertime. I should not be feeling burnt out at all. When I see people at the hardware store, they're like, well, you're barely working, or you're not working at all. You're one of them teachers up there at the college. And I usually just nod and smile. But I think many of you are aware that I love geology. I love having a sense of purpose. And I love just daily, 7 days a week, I love working on this stuff. It's a hobby. Simply put, it's a hobby. And it just happens to be my job. And then all the technology stuff and the different forms of outreach, it brings me a lot of joy, and I hope that you can hear that in my voice. This is an afternoon podcast. I normally do it first thing in the morning, but we're heading down to the rodeo tonight. Yee-haw! This is Labor Day weekend. It's Friday of Labor Day weekend, and I had an hour to kill. Thought I'd come down here and do a half an hour radio episode with you. Liz is taking a nap. Bijou's out in the backyard. Come on, boy. It's the new format. Get right to the geology. Let's do it. What have I learned about the Idaho batholith that feels new to pretty much everybody, including the experts? So I have talked to two tomographers, Gene Humphreys, University of Oregon, and Spencer Fuston from Houston, Texas, who got a PhD from the University of Houston a couple years ago and is now in the oil industry, but is still thinking and even publishing on plate tectonics, subducted ocean plates, and Idaho is a small portion of his work. But I have to say the highlight of the last couple of weeks for me with this Idaho discussion, and this Idaho thinking, was Dr. Basil Tikoff from the University of Wisconsin, who was quietly watching each of these live streams and recorded videos as well, I guess. But no, I guess they were all live streams for the most part, except for Gene Humphreys. And at some point, Basil said, look, I'm happy to make an appearance. He volunteered himself, essentially. And boy, what an appearance. So if you're a listener only, and you rarely go and watch these videos, but you have mild interest, maybe even elevated interest based on what I'm talking about right now with this radio episode, I think it's worth your time to enjoy an hour of the vocal stylings of Dr. Basil Tikoff, University of Wisconsin. Okay? 5 minute mark. Get into the matter. Here we go. I was looking for a tectonic explanation for the main phase of the Idaho batholith. And the main phase of creating all those granites of central Idaho, the Idaho batholith, the Sawtooth Range, and so on, the main phase starts about 85 million years ago and it ends about 55 million years ago. And instead of a volcanic arc with a subducting ocean plate generating the magma, Basil was very convincing and was not the first to bring this up, but he was the guy that really kind of flipped the switch for me, is that he said, this is a major crustal thickening chapter. And the granites of the Idaho batholith during the main phase, both the Atlanta lobe in the south and then the Bitterroot lobe in the north, those are simply from thickening the crust, and granites or magmas are created in that situation, Nick. He didn't say it with a patronizing tone, but I'm doing it to myself right now. Need I remind you, young man, that in Geology 101, when you have a continent versus continent collision and you thicken the crust and you have a major mountain range being formed, what do you have? You have folded sedimentary rock, you have dynamo thermal metamorphic rock a little deeper, and then what do you have even deeper? You got some frickin' magmas, man. Not subduction-generated magmas, you just have magmas being generated in a thickened crust situation. And for whatever reason, I was resistant to that idea. It was first brought up by Rich Gashnick, then brought up by Gene Humphreys, then brought up brought up by Sean Wilsey as well. College is up Southern Idaho. He made an appearance. Most of you know him from YouTube. But I finally got signed off on the idea because of Basil's cross-sections. So if you're looking for another reason to go watch this Basil episode, now there's some work being done upstairs. Maybe you can hear it right now. Basil made customized cross-sections, pencil drawings, specifically for our YouTube community. And that takes guts, but this guy's over 50. He's well-respected the world over in structural geology and tectonics. He's not afraid to look dumb. And as he said in the episode, you're forcing me to commit to some plate tectonic cross-sections for the events leading up to the Idaho batholith, the creation of the magmas of the Idaho batholith, the new Idaho batholith, and then post-Idaho batholith, which he was most sheepish about. But he committed his thoughts to pencil and paper and shared them with us. And just that act was very meaningful to me, almost touching, to be honest. Like, most people aren't willing to go that far, but he did. And his 85 to 55 plate tectonic cross-section looked like this. Let me try to describe it. It was not a continent versus continent collision. That happened 100 million years ago with the accretion of Wrangellia and Friends colliding with North America. But starting 85 million years ago in this tectonic cross-section I'm trying to describe to you right now, shockingly, he had an ocean plate subducting on the western side of the tectonic cross-section, and he named it the Resurrection Plate. And he said, I think Spencer Fustin from Houston is correct about that. I think the Resurrection Plate was subducting far to the west, subducting beneath the insular superterrain, which is another way we describe Wrangellia and Friends. And so there was a volcanic arc, Nick, 85 to 55 million years ago, according to Basil's worldview. But it wasn't in Idaho. It was to the west of Idaho. And he showed a little simple subducting resurrection plate and a simple volcanic arc on the surface. And I got all excited. It was a conversation. I liked that part about the interview as well. I don't mean to demean the other guests I've had. Sean Wilsey, Gene Humphreys, most recently Spencer Fustin just last night. Those were excellent discussions as well. I got a lot out of each of those visits. But it was the Basil one that had a special magic to it. And so it was back and forth, back and forth. And one of my interruptions with Basil was, hey man, where can I go see those granites of the volcanic arc or the diorites or the tonalites of the volcanic arc that you've got there on Insular? And Basil, without batting an eyelash, said, well, you need to get in a helicopter, go with Glenn Woodsworth up by Juneau, Alaska to find it. And I'm like, what? Wait a minute. And then I said in the program, oh my God, I just caught myself. I saw your simple east-west cross-section, which I assumed was going through Ellensburg, Washington, and heading over to Idaho, and you got a big volcanic arc between 85 and 55. I want to go see those rocks. But I forgot the part that it's Baja BC. I'm talking to a Baja BC guy, and he's got this stuff up in Alaska now. It's not down here. It was down here during that time. Okay, that was exciting. But then as we work our way to the east in this cross-section, I hope you follow what I'm doing right now. Then we're into the intermontane superterrain, which is mostly underneath the basalts of eastern Washington, but we can get into the Blue Mountains if you want. The Blue Mountain terrain, the Wallawas, the Olds Ferries, all those, I can't remember the names of some of those. We cross the western Idaho shear zone. Now we're actually in the state of Idaho, and what do we have? In central Idaho, we have a plateau, Basil's main point of the sketch. We have an orogenic plateau. It's not just a mountain range, it's just an elevated plateau, like the Altiplano in Bolivia. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like the Himalayas and some plateau frickin' over there. I don't know. But his major message was, you're thickening the crust, which means you have high elevation, the highest elevation in all the Cordillera, I think he was saying, between 85 and 55. And beneath that plateau, maybe at the base of the plateau, I'm not quite sure, but somewhere in that thickened crust, you are creating these magmas. And it was a conversation. So I interrupted and said, I don't know, Basil, that's disappointing to me. We need a hell of a lot of magma. How are we doing that just by thickening the crust? And he just said, you go to other places and there's lots of magmas being generated in those thick zones as well. But he went on. He just didn't say it was thickened. He added a fourth dimension or a fifth dimension. I don't know. I've lost track of the dimensions now. But he said, what did he say? He had a really great phrase. I can't remember it right now. He said, there's rotation. And we're, during this time, 85 to 55, I'm pausing because I don't know how to do this simply here. And that's the issue. There's so much going on in Idaho during this time of making the granites of the new Idaho batholith. I'll try. A major feature that Basil is confident that everyone is overlooking is something called the Lewis and Clark line. And it's a structure, it's a fault, it's a strike slip fault that has been a dominant structure for hundreds of millions of years. And depending on which chapter of the life of the Lewis and Clark line you pick, you either have dextral or sinistral offset, meaning you either have the crust south of the Lewis and Clark line going, okay, how do I do this? On a map today, the Lewis and Clark line is a northwest-southeast line. It's kind of cutting through the panhandle of Idaho and going into Montana. And so therefore, we have crust south of the Lewis and Clark line, southwest, if you want to think of those specific coordinates. And Basil says, what does he say? Before 55 million years ago, in other words, during the time of the sketch, the Lewis and Clark line is left lateral or sinistral, meaning that much of the state of Idaho, south of the Lewis and Clark line, is being rotated clockwise. Clockwise, and therefore it's being pushed in. You can think of Idaho being rotated like a flipper paddle on a pinball machine. And that You hit the, so we're on the right button on our pinball machine. Does anybody play pinball anymore? Have I played pinball since I was 17? I guess not. But you get the pinball machine going, and you got the flippers on both sides, right, left, right, left, right, right, left. And you hit that right button on the right side, and you've got your right flipper going up, 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 right, right. That's a clockwise motion with that right flipper. Okay, this is working. And I think. And so the rocks of central Idaho are on the right flipper, and the right flipper is rotating clockwise, and you're kind of, your right flipper is pushing the crust of central Idaho into Montana, into the plains of Montana. You're squeezing, you're doing extra squeezing before 55 million years ago. And so the squeezing is first happening down in the southern part of the Idaho batholith to make the magmas of the Atlanta lobe. And then about 66 million years ago, you even do more squeezing because you're getting closer and closer to the pivot point of the flipper. You're getting closer and closer to your right index finger, who's on the outside of the pinball machine. I don't know if this is working now. I thought I had it for a second. It was a convincing case that the sinistral or left lateral motion on the Lewis and Clark line was a tectonic explanation for why we're generating magmas south of the Lewis and Clark line, and it's because of this squeezing or compression, because that flipper keeps cranking away. And as you crank away, and as you squeeze, and you squeeze, and you squeeze, you're thickening and thickening, and the plateau is getting higher and higher, and you're making more and more localized magmas preceding 55 million years ago. Well, this is leading to something. It's leading to, in Basil's number, 55, and the number I've been using, 53. I think it does matter, because this is, we're approaching the time of Seletsia, which is a centerpiece of what I think I'm going to be doing in the first few alphabets of the Cascade Volcanoes A to Z live stream series this coming winter to a theater near you starting in early November. Basil X 55 million years ago, when the world changes, as he kept saying. And what's changing? Well, suddenly, at the snap of a finger, that left lateral motion on the Lewis and Clark line switches. And suddenly it's right lateral. God, I hope I'm not screwing this up. I think we go from left lateral to right lateral. And if we go to right lateral, that means we suddenly have the opposite of squeezing in central Idaho. We're done making the compressional magmas, the pearluminous magmas, the two mica granites that are the hallmark of the Idaho batholith, whether in the Atlanta lobe in the south or whether we're in the Bitterroot lobe in the north. That magma-generating factory from compression is suddenly done. And it's not just in Idaho, it is a regional flip of a switch. We're done building the Rocky Mountains. Yeah, we were talking about severe thrust faulting and laramide uplifts to the east of Idaho all during this time. So this plateau is just part of a greater Rocky Mountain building. And I don't typically think of granites being formed during the Rocky Mountains being formed. Dumb sentence. I don't typically think of magmas being generated when we're building the Rockies, but apparently localized in Idaho, that was a case. That was a thing. Well, here we go. What's the opposite? If we're suddenly doing the opposite motion on the Lewis and Clark line 55 million years ago, what are we doing? We're suddenly extending the crust, says Basil Tikoff, south of the Lewis and Clark line. And that Lewis and Clark line, you can follow across Wyoming to the Dakotas. And he says all of these quote-unquote chalice magmas, magmas that are totally different in chemistry than the Idaho batholith, magmas that overprint blotches of chalice material everywhere. This is what I did in the last radio episode. You might have to go back and listen to that if you care. So these Eocene magmas, these chalice magmas, these blotches of granites and even volcanics. So now we have a ton of lavas as well, not just underground magmas. They're all extensional. They're all full of old silver and gold. Silver and gold, copyright trademark, Burl Ives. Basil says that extensional scene with the chalice magmas, both plutonic and volcanic, are south of the Lewis and Clark line only in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, I guess. So like the Absaracas in Wyoming, Devil's Tower in Wyoming, other places I don't know. The Chalice Lavas of Central Idaho, the namesake of the Chalice Magmas. And then Basil, so now we're to Basil's most recent cross-section, which is younger than 55. And he was charming in this video, saying, I'm really nervous about this one. I'm just not sure this one's right. But he kept saying, you're committing me to do this. Like, I'm not making you do anything. He kind of made himself commit to some sketches, which is kind of a bold thing to do if you're in the world of academia. And yeah, in yesterday's live stream, I just basically had an hour program with Spencer Fustin, who specializes in looking for mantle slabs of ocean plates in the mantle. Just say, hey, what's going on with Basil? You agree with some of that? He's like, yeah, most of it I do agree with. But to finish my thought, the last batch of magmas that are splotchy across Idaho are really not thought of as part of the Idaho batholith. Now, let me finish that thought and then I'll get to Sean Wilsey just a touch. So it feels like the chalice magma time, which is Jeff Tepper's specialization, Mike Eddy's specialization among many specializations, I think that's where I'm going next. And I think I'm a little burnt out on the live streams. I think I'm going to ratchet it back and just maybe just go back. If I do live streams, maybe it'll just be me kind of just processing what I've learned, because there's been a lot coming in. There's been a lot coming in through that little setup I have in the office. And I need some time to read these papers, rewatch these programs I've been doing, especially Spencer Fustin yesterday. That was a dense show. There's a lot. And I think I only got half of it. It was as it was happening. But the Idaho batholith, the quote unquote new Idaho batholith that I'm saying today, is the Idaho batholith new? Of course not, geologically. Is there a new appreciation and a new set of ideas? Yes, for me, but without sounding too cocky, I think this month of August has been a revelation to many geologists who've been thinking hard about this stuff for much of their career. So I am proud of the fact that I can just have this group of geologists watching them, number one, oftentimes volunteering to put themselves on to add to the discussion. It's essentially a graduate level class where we're all in the room, but we're not physically all in the room. And we're just hearing each person just kind of give their own testimonial after the fact. But the vibe is so positive. It's not bitter. It also feels new. Okay. I'm old enough. I'm in my early 60s. I'm old enough to remember when I first got into geology, and it was mostly, the tone was different. It was people wanting to do hand-to-hand combat in geology. And one of the reasons you would go to a geology conference, a GSA conference, was to see people fighting, essentially. Standing up in the middle of somebody's talk and shouting them down and saying, this is all baloney, don't listen to this person. You know, super male behavior, but that was a thing. And even the way this stuff was taught in the 1980s was kind of a good guys and bad guys. Well, at least in this little world that I've created, it feels very different. I think it's different, and I'm proud of that. Okay. A little break to just comment on, I had a plan for, why was I so obsessed with the Idaho batholith for this month of August? It's August 30th. We're almost done with the month. I've been thinking about Idaho essentially for a month and making programs for a month. Well, as I confessed recently to the viewers, Sean Wilsey of YouTube fame from the College of Southern Idaho texted me in the middle of the summer and said, hey, do you want to make another video somehow together? Another Zoom conversation of some sort? And I said, sure. That was fun to do that with you in March. I said, how about we go a step further? How about I come to Idaho and we make some videos together and maybe we even do a public appearance? Please forgive me if I've already shared this with you. I can't remember where I've said this before. And so Sean and I had a plan that we would do a joint public appearance next weekend, September 7th, and we were going to spend the weekend together making recorded videos. Sean was going to take me on his raft. We were going to do a video on the Payette or one of the rivers in central Idaho. We were going to do a number of programs together. And we had an itinerary, the two of us, including this public event on Saturday morning in Stanley, Idaho. And Sean announced it on his channel, and I took his announcement and put it on my channel. And if you're listening to this 5 years from now, it's not going to make any sense to you, but here we are in late August of 2024, and there is a major fire, of course, right next to Stanley, Idaho. And it has been intense. And such bad news for so many of the residents of central Idaho that just a couple nights ago, Sean texted and said, hey, I think we got to cancel. This area is choked in smoke. A couple of the major roads are closed. Stanley is a ghost town. The air quality is awful. And so we announced yesterday the painful announcement that we're going to have to cancel this event. And I think a lot of people were planning to come. And just a couple hours ago, I texted with Sean and said, well, I still have the weekend free. And we rolled some ideas back and forth about plan B. And then we just decided half an hour ago that we're just going to cancel anything. And I'm not heading to Idaho. So I won't be doing any physical stuff in Idaho with Sean Wilsey or anything else. And yet, I'm very pleased so far with what I've been able to learn in this kind of working workshop with all these live streams on YouTube. And this is the second and maybe final report on what I've now called the Idaho mini series. I think there's 8 episodes total. I made a little playlist on my YouTube channel. It's called the Idaho mini series. And the whole reason for the miniseries was to basically come up with a bunch of new ideas that I could then share with Sean, and Sean's been watching the programs, but we could apply this new stuff that I've been learning from the experts as we were looking at some of these beautiful scenes and in the sawtooths and everything else. Well, not to be. Down the road, perhaps, but not to be. So that's full disclosure on why I've been into the Idaho scene for so long. Can I report on what I did with Spencer Houston from Houston yesterday? I'm not sure I can. That's a bright guy. And I think the next place I'm going is continuing to think hard about these ocean plates. And I learned some basic rules from Spencer yesterday in real time. And when I watch the replay, I'll have to pick up a few more. But the resurrection plate, which has been debated vigorously for the last couple of decades, it seems. Some folks say the resurrection plate never existed. This is baloney. Others strongly supporting the idea of an oceanic plate called the resurrection plate, which is now totally gone from the surface. But Spencer Houston in 2020 published a paper with his former advisor, Johnny Wu, at University of Houston, and they found a remnant of the resurrection plate. And by definition, then, we can start placing spreading ridges out in the Pacific Ocean, bordering the north and the south edges of that resurrection plate. And the southern margin of the resurrection plate is what? It's the spreading ridge that was subducting beneath the Pacific Northwest roughly 55 million years ago. It's the spreading ridge that Seletsia was centered upon. Seletsia / Yakutat, that large igneous province, was growing on the spreading ridge. And yeah, come on, man. I've been saying such great things about basil. The one thing I didn't like, I was probably unprofessional during the conversation. I buttered up basil. I said, this is your best performance, man. This is so great. Everything's just so perfect. And then he went on to say, well, you know, I probably shouldn't say this to the Pacific Northwest fans, but I don't think Seletsia is that big a deal. I'm like, what? You just blew it. Come on, man. You just blew it. I just said this is the greatest appearance, and now you're just, how dare you? How dare you besmirch the reputation of Seletsia? I love Seletsia. I said something like that. And he just kind of let it pass and just kept going. And Basil's point was, if the collision of Seletsia was so important, why are we doing mostly extension inland? And, you know, I'll just let him run. But can't you have compression and extension happening at the same time? Sigma whatever. Can't you do compression in two cardinal directions and have extension happening at the same time in the opposite two directions? I think the answer is yes. Has that all been worked out by Mike Eddy and Bob Miller and others? I think it has been, but that's something I'm going to look into as well. It never ends. You know that. It never ends. The learning never ends. The research never ends. And the leads never end. The emails continue to pour in. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? Have you met this person? I just follow all those breadcrumbs because people are into this stuff. And it's so fun to see that. In late frickin' August, when everybody's supposed to be on vacation and the weather's perfect and nobody's sitting home watching something live on a laptop or a phone, well, you know, there's hundreds of people watching these things, even in the middle of summer. So as we wrap this radio episode up, I'm saying, have I learned some new things about the Idaho batholith? Yes, just a portion of which I've reported on here right now. Plenty more if you take time to watch the Idaho mini-series on my YouTube channel. And of course, many of these papers, some of them brand new, are at nickzentner.com. Click on Cascades. In the upper right-hand corner, enter the promo code New Idaho Batholith, all lowercase, one word, JK. Thank you, dear listener. I appreciate you listening to this one. I'll try to keep checking in, maybe once or twice a month, maybe more if I'm feeling frisky. Yeah, by the way, there's been all sorts of field videos I've been doing up in the Cascades, including the Goat Rocks Volcanic Team, which I posted just yesterday, so maybe I should do a radio episode on those guys. That was fun. Thank you, I love you, and goodbye from Ellensburg, Washington, USA.